It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition, a special edition, I should add, of the Midwest Outdoor. Today, my co-host's birthday, Mark Tobin, turned 60. It's downhill from here.
It's been going downhill before today.
Is it?
Actually, my birthday is tomorrow.
Well, that's close enough.
It's close enough.
Yeah, what the hey. Mine was Wednesday.
67.
I was 67, just hitting my stride.
We're old farts.
No. I mean, when you get into your 80s, that's when you classify
that's
as
true.
Old, you know. What the hey? I took it upon myself. I got a huge cake and a girl to jump out of. You're going to have it here when you first got here this morning. It's $1,000.
Seriously.
So
that'd be worth it.
They called me and said, well, they couldn't get this and that, but they'd have to raise it to $1,200. And I said, well, okay, go ahead, because I think it'll be worth it. So then they called me back, and they wanted $1,500. And they didn't have a girl. They had a guy that was going to jump out of the cake. So I thought, well, I don't think we're going there. So I canceled
you.
The whole. But my thoughts were admirable.
Your intentions were, yes.
You know.
Well, thank you for thinking of it, but thank you for not getting the cake.
And if it's 60, and if you had some girl jumping out of the cake at your age, you might be done.
Yeah,
you know,
so
right
it's better so, that you didn't do that all the way around.
Yeah, so anyway, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You don't turn 60 all the time, you know.
No, I just have one shot at that.
That's right. So, you know, I didn't think you'd make 60.
I've had doubts myself.
Yeah. You know, you and Rudy. I worry about Rudy a lot. I got thinking about Rudy on the way home last Saturday. He's probably the most professional person I've ever worked with. He's a great, great producer. But, you know, he's just can't keep burning the candle at both ends like this.
Yeah, it's taking a toll on him, isn't it?
Starting to take his toll on his thing, you know, and and then I had to, you know, we talked about him getting him a girlfriend last weekend. And then I ran into her, and she'd got a new boyfriend, so he's out there. But I'm going to find him another one. I will. I mean, it's my
he
goal
needs,
in life.
He needs that.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The only thing missing in his life.
What's the exciting adventure? What are you doing today to celebrate?
Just going over to my mom's. We're going to have some Fiorello's Jack Stack's prime beef ribs. If you've never had these things, they
Ooh.
Are incredible.
Ooh.
Each one pre-cooked weighs a pound.
Woo.
But they're just absolutely wonderful. They're a little fatty, and oh my gosh, they just got the best flavor. So
I'm going to be hunting, I hope, it might not work, but with Travon Reed maybe this afternoon.
Oh,
if he can sneak away, but he works so many hours, I doubt if he can, but I hope he does. He's sure an enjoyable person to be around. I really like him.
Oh, there's none better than Reed.
Ah, that whole group.
Travon is he's just such a great guy. So personable.
Got to tell me Marine stories yesterday, and I got to laughing so hard. I finally figured it out. These Marines are violent people.
Well, good thing.
But I've never been around anybody like him. He's just a wonderful person. And just been a blessing to get hooked up with him, you know, that whole organization. They're absolutely. I'm amazed. It just amazes me that if I drive around St. Joe and I see a sticker on the back truck that doesn't say Reed, I'm going,
why?
Why? Why do you want to save money?
Don't you know what you're missing? Yeah, right.
Why do you want to go save some money on a deal?
So save money on the purchase and free oil changes for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's
wouldn't hurt you a bit.
The friendly folks there, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes it such a pleasant experience.
30 minutes drive north of KCI, and you're probably going to save 3 to 5 to 8. I think I would drive, 30 minutes to save that kind of money.
Absolutely.
In a deal. So when's snagging season?
Starts March 15th. I think that's on a Thursday, but March 15th to April 31st, not very far away.
It isn't, is it?
No.
Ooh.
And
are you going?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I've got my son Garrett here in studio with us. Say good morning, Garrett.
Good morning, Garrett.
Say, good morning.
Good morning. So you're supposed to say good morning, Garrett.
Oh, good morning, Garrett.
Yeah, there you go. That's what he said. When Dad says something, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to answer the way Dad says.
Yeah, right. Normally he does.
I'm learning.
But, yeah, Garrett, he's a great spoonbill snagger.
Oh, really?
And he's got some big ones. And my son, Mark Jr. And Mark Jr., he loves to smoke spoonbill.
Oh, man.
It is really, truly one of our favorite things. He and I both. And he really wants to load up on the spoonbill this year so we can smoke some. I'll get that recipe up on our website. Garrett is in here today taking pictures for to update our website. And you will see a picture of our cracked board operator, Rudy. And you can see what Fred's talking about. You can see how he's definitely the women are taking a toll on him.
Exactly. And but he can't have enough. You know, and
at his age, no.
I have. Oh, I better not say that on the air. It would probably be terminated of employment here, which I've lasted longer than we thought we would. But what the hey, you know. I'll give this some gray matter. I might come back with this, Rudy. I don't know. So what the hey? They got people texting me all over the place. And Garrett, what's the biggest spoonbill you caught? Get right there at the microphone.
Oh, man. This actually was one of my very first ones that I've ever caught. It would probably, I think it was around 70, 75 pounds.
Oh!
The first experience was an unforgettable one at that.
Boy, they shake you.
Yeah.
They really, you people don't understand.
No, and you'll get there's some fish that you get any kind of a current and they'll make a long run up the lake. And there's others that have already made a run and they've been in a deep hole for a few days and they're fresh. Those fresh ones,
oh boy,
they are a hoot. Yeah. I mean, they'll porpoise out of the water and jump out of the water. They just go crazy. On the other hand, some of them that have made a big long run, they're not as fresh, and they don't. It's just kind of like pulling in a big log.
Yeah.
But you get them fresh ones, and it is an absolute riot. In fact, we did a television show, you and I did, down on Grand Lake, and I don't remember if you were with me on this particular trip when my son, Mark Jr., was with us.
Your memory. You're getting old. You forget things all the time.
When he almost got pulled out of the boat.
Yeah.
Were you there?
I remember that.
Okay.
Do you remember the donkey boy?
Oh, heck, absolutely. He was a
hoot. We fished with the original donkey boy, and he would bray.
Yeah,
I'm serious. When he would laugh, it sounded just like a donkey. He'd go, and I stand behind the camera, and I was laughing so hard I had to turn the mic off, you know, because it was running the whole production. I always wonder if he's still alive, too. Where was he? He was from Iowa, wasn't he?
I think so. I think that's right, yeah.
Oh, that explains
it. Yeah, that's right. you thought that was he was laughing. That was actually his mating call.
Yeah, well, that's Iowegian.
Right.
I mean, all those people from Iowa are not normal. I don't care what they say. They rank right up there with Nebraskans.
Oh, no.
The N in Nebraska, they think, stands for knowledge. I've never had the heart to tell them. Unbelievable people up that way. People don't understand how good they got around this Kansas City market.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. How many boats will you see towed in?
Oh, at least two or three opening day. And it happens every year.
Why?
Because they didn't have their boat service before they go out. And the best place to have it serviced is Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. And we talk about this every week. And if you haven't had a problem with your boat, just wait. You will. That's why they call it a boat. Bust out another 1,000. But when it happens, just remember Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. There's just nobody better out there that can take care of all of your problems. But if you have not had anything done to your boat yet this year, do it before you get out there for the first time.
Exactly.
If you haven't already been out there. They have a 32-point check that they'll put your boat through, and you can just get out there on the water that first time and just rest assured that you're not going to have a problem, because there's just nothing worse after waiting all winter to get out on the water, and you get out there and your boat breaks down. There's just nothing worse. There's nothing more demoralizing, so just don't go through that. Get down to Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They're in Belton, the last Belton exit. Check out the Lund boats, too. Check out the Lund bass boat. It is just outstanding. It's such a cool boat.
It is.
They've got a whole bunch of pontoons down there. I'm telling you, that's going to be my next boat. A pontoon will be my next boat. They're just so easy to get around in. And for Lake of the Ozarks, that's where I fish a lot. There's just not a better boat out there. But anyway.
The downside of a pontoon is wind load.
Well, that's true. Very true.
But you know,
on Lake of the Ozarks.
So stable.
Yeah.
And it's just such a joy. The other side of the downside of it is if you take them out, but now the trailers are so much better. They got a groove to go back in, and it's not that big a deal to put those back on.
Nope.
But, used to be it's such a challenge to get them back on,
We were at the boat show this past spring, or winter, past spring. Saw some pontoons there. They had twin 350 twin 350 horse engines on them, on pontoons.
Go fast.
Yeah, go fast. But what the heck? Anyway, Sportsman's out of Federal Marine. Belton, last Belton exit, Cass Road is on the east or west side of 49 Highway.
Mm.
Go there.
Hey, things have changed on Truman, I understand.
Oh, my gosh. In fact, I'm going to have Richard Bowling on here in just a little bit, get a quick report. Yeah, last week we went from 2 weeks ago, we had that freezing rain, and the water temperature on most of our lakes was in the 32 to 34 degree range. And last week they had over 3 inches of rain down around Truman and Lake of the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. And that water warmed up anywhere from 8 to 12 degrees. Now all of a sudden we have 44 to 46 degree water. And those fish, last week, most of the fish were being caught near the river channel. 25, 35 foot of water, 8 to 14 feet deep. You're not going to believe how it's changed. Now they have moved into the creeks, all the way back in the backs of creeks. And they're suspended, but 2 foot deep.
We're going Tuesday?
We're going, yes.
We are? I'm inviting myself.
you know,
you don't want to be seen in public.
I do.
No, you don't.
I've been trying to get Richard to take us. He's just been too busy.
2 weeks ago, I sat on my front porch. I thought, well, Mark will show up. He said, we're going fishing Tuesday. And I sat there, and I sat there, and I had my rod and my little hat on and with the flies. And you never show. Didn't call, didn't pick up the phone, didn't do nothing. My neighbors were looking at me like, wow. Because I'm practicing casting out my front yard.
Warming up,
and no Mark.
Well, I didn't go either. I was waiting for Richard to call me. But he just got too busy.
Okay, here's what's going on at Squall Creek. There's probably the most concentration of waterfowl of white geese that I've ever seen. I wore this brown coat in here this morning because it has blood splatters all over it.
Seriously.
Shot geese at 10 and 15 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just hilarious. And had
wow.
Me and Andy went up the other morning. It was foggy. We killed, it was the day of my birthday. And so we had a surprise birthday that I wasn't supposed to know anything about. And so we got back out of there at 10:30 or 9:30, whatever it was, and we killed 25. Had a
dang,
good shoot.
That's awesome.
And then the day before that, me and Jeremiah Johnson, we went hunting up, or we hunted in the afternoon. We killed 14. Then me and my boy went with Chad, and we got one. So that's just the way it goes. But last night was a massacre.
Wow.
It was great.
Cool.
I mean, and I don't think I raised up off the seat and shot one over 20 yards away.
That's unreal.
But it, and I missed one point blank. I missed one the other morning. Burnham hunts with Mandy, my sidekick. Three times, point blank, he stood up and dusted him on the fourth.
Oh.
He was real calm about it. I figured he'd really give me the raspberries on the thing, but. He was really
it's running. Coming, I'm sure.
Yeah. Now, and I've had so many people call me. I talked about this Scott Cromer that has got, Croner has a guide service. He's hunting west of me. They're working them over. They had some 80-year-old guys in there hunting the other day. So that gives me reprieve and life.
Yeah, it gives you hope.
So I told everybody, I said, listen, I don't have the phone number with me. I'll give it out on the air. It's 855-473-2875. Now, these are pits that you get down out of the wind. That laying out in the mud in a layout blind is not the most conducive way to my thinking if you're young and flat-bellied, like Rudy or somebody like that. But 855-473-2875. This guy, will, if there's anybody around, he can put you on the birds. It's my good friend Scott. He's just a great guy. 855-473-2875, and he works so hard at it. And that's what the essence of a guide is, someone who works so hard at it. The deal. Are we about out of time?
We've got 1 minute.
Who we're going to have?
Going to have Richard Bowling, very quick, just get a fishing report on Truman Lake, and then your buddy at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Jim Miller from Tex-Mex Outdoors.
Jim the Killer Miller. He's a bloodthirsty heathen, my kind of guy.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We've got to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Having a terrible time getting my glasses back on. I'm old, you know, 67. I don't hear good. Got to wear glasses.
Yes, I'm feeling your pain.
The voice that you're hearing is Crab Nobbit.
Crab Nibbot.
That's Mark Tobin spelled backwards.
And what's Fred Ramsey backwards?
Durf Yasmar. I kind of think it's kind of cool, Durf. Durf. I wouldn't mind being called Durf.
No.
You know.
And Garrett, we decided your name was what? Tarag Nibbot?
Yes, this is how we spend intermissions here at Midwest Outdoor.
We have no life, ladies and gentlemen. Rudy, I got some good news. I just got a text while we were gone off the air, and she broke up with the boyfriend. So you're back in.
All right, Rudy.
We'll make this. This could be something special for him.
So you're saying he's got a chance.
More than a chance. Mm-hmm. This girl's got the right attitude, if you know what I mean.
Morally casual.
Well, that's what, yeah. He might be sore for a day or two, but he'll have fun.
He'll recover.
Oh, I know I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I apologize.
You and all little pygmies in New Guinea.
Yeah. Who we got here now?
Richard Bowling, the best guide on Truman Lake. Good morning, my friend. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Well, I had to have you on. Call you every Friday for a fishing report, and I was just shocked how things have changed on the lake in a week. 2 weeks ago, you were catching most of your fish following bait balls out on the main channel, 25, 35 foot of water, 8, 14, whatever it was, foot deep. What has happened? How has the fish location changed?
Man, we went from 29, 30 degree water to 44, 45 degree water really quick. And these fish, shad balls, shad, everything has started hitting these creeks and the major pockets.
Ooh.
And they're moving way back already. I can catch fish pulling back. And I'm going to start in 6 foot of water this morning and catch them down about 4 or 5 feet.
What?
And then as that sun comes up, I'm going to catch them about 2 and 3 foot under the surface.
I cannot believe that it changed that drastically that quick. But you had 3 inches of warm rain. And that's what happened. That water just warmed up so quick. But I'm still surprised. I'm shocked that those fish moved all the way back into these creeks and pockets just that quick. Have you ever seen that happen, or is that just pretty typical?
No, I've seen it happen, but not so much overnight like what they did this year. But, yeah, I've seen them. You know, one day you catch them at the mouth of a creek on a real nice warm day and a warm night. And then the next day you catch them a little further back, then the next day and they're back. So, yeah, they transition pretty quick if you get the right weather, you know, get some sun and, like you say, some warm rain, and you don't dirty the water up. Right now this water is, I'm fishing the mid-Grand and the mid-Osage, and it's really good water, good fishing water.
Still nothing but straight minnows, or are you tipping a jig?
No, I'm using straight minnows. Now, I did have a follow boat the other day. They didn't want to use minnows, and they was going to Kansas troll, and they just jig fished. And, man, they had their limits really quick doing the same thing, just, you know, pushing two minnows or two jigs, holding a rod in their hand and just moving around real slow. And, man, they put a whooping on them.
Oh, good. Now, are you targeting cover now that they've moved, or are you still just looking for shad and fishing above the shad?
Man, I'm just covering water. I'm not, you know, I can even speed up now. They're getting a little more aggressive, but there is shad in back of these creeks, but I'm not really looking for shad on my locator. I'm just moving around. And if you happen to brush up against a brush pile or a tree or something, you're going to catch a fish, but a lot of these fish are just out in that open water up, absorbing that, you know, that warm water and just cruising around back there.
Wow. That sounds magnificent. Now, do you ever switch over to using jigs, or do you always use minnows?
No, I'll switch over here pretty shortly to using just the jig. They're going to get, you know, when this water warms up just a touch more, you get that 47, 48 when you're pushing jigs, spider rigging. You know, I just run one a lot of times. Some depends on depth of water, of course, but man, it's almost like they're mad at it. They'll hit it so hard. And right now, they're not too that. They're starting to get a little more aggressive when this water's warming up, but they're not there yet. So I need about 2 or 3 more degree water, and then it'll be jigged.
Now, do you believe in colored heads or not colored heads?
You know, everybody's got their own belief. I like just the straight lead head. It don't have to be orange. It don't have to be yellow. I like straight lead head for myself.
Hmm. Well,
any 3-pound crappie, now we'll put you on the money. These guides sometimes have these 3-pound crappie that...
I haven't seen a 3-pounder yet, but we're catching a lot of just under and just over 2 pounds.
Wow. Oh, man.
But, they've got, they're full of shad and they're full of, or they got their egg sacs going. So that adds some weight to them, too. But a true 3-pounder I have not seen yet, but I believe this week the little tournament 216 is winning it.
Whoa. Mm. Wow.
Yeah, there's some dandies being caught. We had about 3 days ago on an afternoon trip. We had 7 fish that was 15 inches long and longer.
Oh, my good gosh. Those are big.
Have you ever seen or heard of a crappie in Truman that weighed 3 pounds?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
A lady that I guide quite often, Judy Blackman, she was actually a follow boat last year, and she caught it down lake. We had a little creek down lake towards Longshoal, and we pulled in there, and quick story, they gave her water, but they didn't give her no minnows, so she had to run all the way back to the resort to get her minnows put in her bucket. So it's all timing. So she gets back, and they start, and she didn't go very far, and she caught a 3.26, a true 3.26 on the certified scale.
Judy Blackman, huh?
Yeah, that was a year ago, pretty close to the day, really. And like I say, it's all timing. Would she have caught that fish if she had had bait in the bucket when she got there the first time? No, probably not. but when they had to go all the way back, it took about 30 minutes to go back. You know, they already set their poles out, got ready to bait up, no bait. So they had to take everything up, about an 8-mile boat ride. Go back and have them put minnows in their bucket, then come back, and when they put them in, she caught it. So,
wow.
You know, there's a lot of timing, especially when these fish are just cruising this bigger water, these bigger creeks, and you're not targeting no structure.
Hybrids? Any hybrids?
Hybrid crappie? There's some. That crappie looks hybrid crappie.
I mean hybrid fish.
Oh, you mean hybrid?
Yeah.
We've been catching one a day, spider rigging. I don't like to because it makes one heck of a mess.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Great mess. Well,
you poor guy. What a problem to have.
Yeah, I think they're going to get fired up. But, yeah, we're catching at least one a day and having maybe two or three on, and that will continue to pick up as this water warms up, too, in these creeks. And not that we're focusing on them. We're just, you know, they're out there eating them shad, too, and they come by the minnow and they eat it. So I think the hybrid guys are fixing to start catching them.
What kind of artificial bait do you like, and what colors?
My favorite artificial bait is Bobby Garland, black and chartreuse, black pink. You know, if I got them two colors in my boat, that's all I need.
That's your go-to?
That's my go-to colors. If you open up the hatch of my boat right now, the lid, you'll see a whole bunch of black and pink Bobby Garland and a whole bunch of, you know, different sizes. Black and chartreuse. We've won a lot of money, Gary and I have, over the years on black and chartreuse. You know, on Truman Lake or any lake that I've been to, that's a pretty good color.
What about below the dam? Is anybody catching anything down in the slack water?
They're catching crappie. I do know that. Walleye, I've not had a report, but they have been dumping a little water. And I'm going to say that walleye bite's going to get going down there because,
well, it's time.
You know, we're about 3 foot high here on Truman, and when they start ripping that water a little bit, it's going to get pretty good up there.
Yeah, the timing couldn't have been any better. We needed that rain in a bad way, get some water moving down through there. So that's all good. Yeah, do you know if anybody's able to catch any fish off those courtesy docks down below the dam?
Oh, I know they're catching crappie down there.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Off the docks. And, you know, when they get running this water, that just piles up a crappie. It's almost suicidal in there, the number of fish that will move in there. You know, other than crappie, you catch catfish. And last year, I was just down there playing around spider rigging, and we caught three nice walleye in there just out in the middle of that bigger water. So,
wow. Suspended?
Yeah, it's going to be really good in there.
Were those walleye suspended?
They were, yep.
Isn't that weird?
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not there.
Yeah, really, you're not there.
What about fish?
Any catfish still being had up on the main lake?
Yes, they're still catching them. I had a trip out last week, and we had one over and 6 flats and maybe 10 eaters. Got blew off the lake. But, yeah, get on them big flats, anchor up, you know, 5, 6, 7 foot of water, fan cast them poles. Them fish aren't. They're kind of getting up in this real shallow water right now. You can catch a blue cat up in 2 foot of water if you get the wind pushing up on a bank.
Oh, my gosh.
That fish bite is really good.
Wow. Well, that sounds good, too. Did you know Mark Davis, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I fished with Mark.
Did you see the catfish that he caught that had a red squirrel in its belly?
I did not.
That was just a couple of weeks ago he did that. And then I saw on another website over in a Kansas website, a guy caught a blue cat had a 20-inch snake in its belly.
Good.
Oh, man, they'll even eat each other. No, I mean, they're
just about
aggressive.
Anything.
You know, if it moves and they can get by it, they're going to eat it. But, yeah, we've had blue cats with, you know, little blue cats in them. They'll eat a flathead, white bass, seen a lot of white bass in them. And big one that I caught the other day, my buddy took it home and cleaned it, and he sent me a picture back. It had a 12 1/4-inch crappie inside it.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
What a waste.
It's a big fish, but, man, they can eat a lot of them.
I had a big blue, and I wouldn't have kept it, but I killed it, unfortunately, and I went ahead and opened it up, and it had two white bass in its stomach, and they were so fresh, I was able to flay the white bass and eat them.
Only you.
And
would
I
do
did.
Something
I
like
truly
that.
Did that. I did. I really did.
So you caught three fish on one catch.
I did. That's right, on one hook.
Oh, well, from Missouri.
I don't think I'd take it out of there and eat it.
I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. My goodness.
Okay, Richard. Well, we're running out of time here, but thanks so much for the report. I appreciate it. I'm really surprised how the fish location changed so quick. But, boy, I'm telling you, folks, get down there and go fishing. Richard, if somebody wants to book a trip with you, how can they do it? And give me your Facebook address, because I know you update that just about every day, and you've got some great pictures on there.
My phone number is 660-351-5361. And if you want to go to my Facebook page and see what we're catching daily, just go to Richard Bowling's Guide Service and like that, and all you're going to get is fishing from the day. You're not going to get no political crap or nothing. It's just going to be fishing only.
That's what we need. All right.
Thank you,
well, Richard, go put the hurt on him again. Thank you for getting up and being with us.
All right. Thank you all.
Talk to you soon.
Well, what a great guide.
He is the best.
He's enthusiastic, boy. He's out there after him.
And he does it every day.
Every day. You'd think he'd burn out a little bit, but he never does.
And by the way, he does release some of those fish to let them respond to.
Hey, we are sponsored by King City Lumber out of King City, Missouri. KingCityLumber.com. If you have not been to their website, shame on you. You'll spend a little bit of a time on there. Use your imagination. If you want to design a building and you want it built and built right, maybe you need a garage out behind the house, or maybe you need a shed to put your tractor in. There's no finer people. They built my building. They built three of my buddies' buildings. They built my neighbor's building. There is nobody any finer. First-rate craftsmen, not carpenters, craftsmen. And they build them, and they build them right. Please go to their webpage. Go see, it's at kingcitylumber.com. If you're around the King City area, go in there and talk to Marty and Monty Tunks. They're the finest humans to walk upright. And you're going to love doing business with them, because it'll be first class when it's done, because it'll stand around for 30 years, I will guarantee you, and it'll still look new. KingCityLumber.com. Tell them that you heard it here from that strange guy on WHB. Take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors here on 810 WHB.
What was that? Midwest out what?
Outdoors, isn't it close?
Years.
Does your dog bite?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Hey, we got one thing we got to be talking about here pretty quick. Reed Chevrolet is going to give away a pickup truck for fishing.
Well, how? When? Where?
Well, we'll get all the particulars. It's going to be on the Missouri River. It'll be a tournament they're having. I think it takes 250 pounds. You will win this Silverado pickup truck.
Wow. Well, that's doable.
Yeah, it's very doable on the deal. You know, so I'm kind of a ringer. I can't participate.
Yeah, that's your story anyway, right?
Yeah, really. We are going to call down to Texas to my good friend Jim the Killer Miller. I've known Jim since probably back in the 70s. Jim, how are you doing this morning?
You know, it's just getting me ready for turkey season, Fred, getting up this early to talk to you.
Exactly. My goodness. I tell you what, Jim, I'm amazed you're still alive.
You know what, Freddie? I tell you, son, I turned 70 years old 2 days ago, and I feel like a spring chicken. I tell you, my body ain't no spring chicken. That's for dang sure.
You've been through a lot in your life, son.
Whoa, buddy! I'll tell you, I've been blessed. I'll tell you that. Good Lord's watched over me, because you know you and I started out in this world together as factory reps, and people think that's a great job and everything's wonderful. It is, but boy, I tell you, the paycheck is about like picking cotton in the boot hill,
or worse.
Jim, this is Mark. I read one of the articles that you have written, and one of the funniest articles that I've ever read. You talk about there's just some days that you wish you hadn't got out of bed, and this particular day was one of them. Started off with you going to take a shower and a bat. Could you tell this story?
A bat attacked you?
It attacked the hell and jumped up and bit me.
Just as you were getting...
What? Here we go, boys. You started the can of worms. There's nothing worse than running around in somebody's house naked with a toilet plunger in your hand trying to kill a damn bat. So
that is a disturbing visual.
No, don't even think about it. It's just terrible. That's all it is.
And your choice of weapon was a toilet plunger. Sure.
Yeah. That is correct. That's the only thing I had. Because I know if I didn't kill that bat, I was going to have to start taking them shots.
But you did get scratched a bit, and so tell what happened, because the day got even worse.
Yeah, I went to the hospital, and they told me I had to start taking rabies shots, or else they was going to chain me to a tree and let me watch 21 Sunrises. That doesn't give you much hope right there, so I started taking the shots. I went back to the ranch, and I guide down at Record Buck Ranch in Utopia, Texas, and we was working deer, and I got through working deer that day, and that night about 10 o'clock got back to the house, and I went to take a shower, and I was very careful about opening up that curtain, I can tell you that, on the shower, and got everything done, and went into there, to the bedroom, and I'll be dang if I didn't get hit in the toe, big toe, by a scorpion. Yeah. And you're talking about squalling like a pet coon. I was screaming all over the place at that point. I'll tell you what, it was bad. I was mad at the world. So I took some Benadryl, and I thought, well, I didn't want to ask that question, what can happen next? Because I tell you what, I found out the next morning, 24 hours after the bat bit me, I put my cowboy hat on and ka-chowy, right at the top of the head. Felt like somebody took a chisel and hit me with a hammer on me. A red wall stung me at the top of my head. And, it's a good thing there was no preacher in the house, because I tell you, the language was dumb. And everybody's laughing, and my boss, he said at the ranch, he goes, Miller, they say everything goes in threes, so you're okay now. I said, I don't think so. And so about an hour later, he come and looked at me at the lodge, we was having breakfast. He goes, God, Miller, you look bad. I said, you think I look bad? I feel worse. He said, well, your head's about the size of a basketball. So he did. They rushed me to a different hospital. So in a 24-hour period, bit by a bat, taking rabies shots, stung by a scorpion, and take Benadryl. Then I rushed to the hospital, and the ride to the hospital, which was about 25 miles away, heck, I thought I was going to die. The guy was driving 120, 130 miles an hour. I finally told him, I said, look, if I'm going to die, let me just die. I don't die in a car wreck.
That's a bad day.
Oh. Well, I won't burn up enough airtime, but the rest of the story was in the hospital. Me and a doctor got in a big dog fight because he was going to hold me in hospital for 2 days. My blood pressure is 170 over 110, and he was about, I'm going to be just blunt. He was about 5'6", weighed about 270, 280, and he told me I was way overweight, and I said, look, you SOB, only I used to weigh. I said, don't talk to me about being overweight and being out of shape or anything. I said, if you've been through what I've been through in the last 24 hours, you'd be dead. You wouldn't be talking about it. So he said, I'm going to call the cops. And I said, okay, fine, call the cops. And we got an Efren shot and started feeling better. And my buddy Jeff Copeland, who I hunt with a lot, he had a chew in his mouth. I said, give me some of that chew. And I put it on that spot where the wasp had stung me and the stinging of burning sensation come out, and the nurse come in. I said, are you done? She said, well, the doctor's got to see. I said, no. So we walked out and got in the truck, and the cops showed up at the hospital, and we left.
Oh, my gosh. That would have killed a lesser man.
It can only happen to Jim Miller. Unbelievable. My goodness, son. You know, when I was down there in Texas, you're talking about that guy driving you 120 mile an hour to the hospital. I thought all Texans drove 120 mile an hour regardless of where they were going.
Yeah. Well, we don't have those speed limits here in Texas. It's you drive at your own risk, and if the trooper stops you, well, you get a ticket, you go about your business. And nobody
everybody's got a Suburban or a pickup truck, and they're in a hurry. That's all I can tell you about Texans, and every one of them I ever met was had drank out of a hoof print.
Yes, just like John Wayne, man. We're tough down here.
Evidently. What the heck? Turkey season. When's your turkey season start?
Man, 14 days from today. I ain't counting, Freddie. You know, man, I'm not paying attention to that. The 17th of March, our South Zone opens, and it should be a heck of a year for us down here. We had a great hatch last spring, and the year before that, the last 2 years, we've had great hatches and a lot of birds.
Well, you know, we're kind of up where I'm from, Northwest Missouri. We're down on the hatch. We've had such weird weather like everybody else in America. But, boy, just there's some birds around. But, you know, last year, Jim, I was thinking about you. I was out turkey hunting, and I had a birds gobbling all around me, and I still had that adrenaline rush, you know. And I've been hunting these things since 1971. And it was just absolutely unbelievable. I was like a little 16-year-old kid, you know, out there. I mean, I was so excited. I don't know what it is about turkey hunting, but, boy, it sure brings adrenaline up in you, doesn't it?
I'll tell you, Fred, the good Lord's blessed me, and I got to hunt all over the world with my bow and arrow. But if it come down to somebody said, okay, you got to pick one species to hunt the rest of your life, it'd be gobblers, because I don't get no bigger thrill than a gobbler coming to me.
You know, we both have been there, you know, and a gobbler gobbling when you got a bow and arrow in your hand is a rush. And then, you know, we've been there with the elk bugling out in front of you.
Right.
It just amazes you that nature works like this, you know. And you stand there in front of those bull elk and you got them bugling and you got on your camouflage. It's hard for me to remember that I'm invisible. I think any second there and go say, oh, there's his eyes, let's run, you know.
Well, Fred, I will be honest with you. I know a lot of your listeners today are thinking, that man's crazy. There's no bigger thrill than a bull elk screaming in your face at 20 yards. And they're right. I mean, it's a blast. But, Fred, that mountain's getting tougher and tougher to climb. I can walk around and call gobblers, and man, you talk about walk around in the mountains, there ain't no walk around about that. It's brutal.
Oh, boy. You got to have that mentality that you're going to do it type thing. I watched a show the other night. I don't remember who it was. Wiskoski. What's that kid out of Iowa? Tiffany and, you know.
Lee
Lukowski. And he was hunting elk with a bow and arrow, and it was flat, level ground. And I went, I've never seen a place to hunt elk that was flat and level. I was so jealous.
Well, you know, Lee was probably hunting, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a great hunter. But he was probably hunting somewhere in a big hay meadow in Montana on a private ranch.
Exactly.
God bless him if he can get those places, because then you can hunt that flat ground. And you're right, that is envious when it's that way.
Let's go through Texas turkey season. You say it comes in zones. Is that where how it opens up down there?
Yes, sir. We have a south zone and a north zone. And I can't remember the exact line across the state, but it's somewhere around Fredericksburg and in a straight line going east and west, and then anything south there for the first 2 weeks until April 1st is the south zone, and then the north zone, it opens up. And the south zone, I think, closes the 1st of May, and then the north zone closes the 15th of May.
Well, I got to hunt the El Campo area. No, where was we? We went to more. Oh, you weren't there. We went to some place up in Texas, and I've never seen so many birds, heard so many birds. It was just a hoot. I just had a ball there. I just couldn't wait. It's so pretty. You know, people don't think about Texas being so darn pretty. You know, that spring flowers are blooming everywhere, and it's just breathtakingly beautiful. It was fun.
Hey, Jim, you, and once again, if you're just joining us, this is Jim Miller from Tex-Mex Outdoors. Weren't you one of the first people in the United States to take the Grand Slam of turkey with a bow and arrow?
I was the third man behind Leroy Browngard and Donald Thompson.
Wow.
I did that in 1988.
Yeah, very cool.
What was the toughest, the Osceola?
That son of a gun. Waiting around them damn swamps down there in Florida, rattlesnakes and, you know, fire ants.
Mosquitoes.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here in my office looking at that guy, gobbler. I still got him on the floor, and had all my four of my birds mounted life size. And then, Fred, I don't know if I ever told you or not, but back in 2007, I went to Mexico and hunted the goulds there.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And so I got the goulds. The only thing I'm missing is that, the so-called gobbler down there in the Yucatan and the colorful bird. And so one of these days before I die, I'm going to go down there and shoot one of them, then I'll have killed all of them with a bow.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a tremendous outdoorsman. What are you doing TV-wise now?
I took a sabbatical. It's getting so difficult to make any money doing TV nowadays, and sponsors is really cut back. And so I'm doing some local marketing in Abilene, Texas, and Houston, Texas. Still doing, it's just gets in your blood. Heck, I don't need to tell you that. You know that too. Mm-hmm. But after a while, your blood can only absorb so many dollar bills going out of the pocket. So.
Yeah, exactly. Have you got a number or something where if somebody wants to go to Texas, which I highly 110% recommend, that a ranch, a place they could go down there to go turkey hunting this spring?
Record Buck Ranch and it's just Record Buck Ranch. You can go on the website and check them out. They got some phenomenal turkey hunting. And if you're looking to, it's going to run you around $1,300, $1,400, and that's two birds and 3 days, all inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in the state of Texas, we have less than a million acres of public ground. And public ground is just, there's such a demand for the permits on there. But if you're on your own, you can usually get a hold of somebody that you know, or if you don't know anybody, contact the Department of Game and Fish, and Texas Parks and Wildlife is actually what it is, Texas Parks and Wildlife, and they can steer you in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend you to do that.
Jim, when it comes to bow hunting, do you prefer mechanical or broadheads?
Boy, you don't want to start a real can of worms, don't you, Mark? I have been shooting mechanicals, and you name it, I have shot it since 1990, and I have found a lot of them that I'm surprised they're still on the market. And then there's two or three that I highly recommend. They don't pay me to say this; I just used them so many years, and there's a new broadhead called a Flictor, AFFLISTTOR. It's a two-blade mechanical. And by the way, I want your audience to know, they don't pay me to say this. I'm just telling you from my experience with
sure.
it. It's a mechanical that when it opens on contact. It has a drive key in the ferrule, and the blades pop open, and they lock in place so they don't fold down. And so that's a broadhead I highly recommend for everybody if you want to shoot mechanicals. Like I say, there's a couple others that are really good. So it's just something you have to get out and play with, and I recommend shooting them into a block and see what they do.
Do they act any different?
No, they fly. I found that most mechanicals, and I use that term most loosely, fly very good. The ones that I found that fly terrible is those that have exposed blades. When I say exposed, they flare out real sharp on the front ends. They seem to draw some arrow. And today's bows, Brady, y'all both know that, hey, Mark, y'all both know that our bows are so efficient today that
yeah.
the 90% efficiency in the performance. So really you just got to play with them and figure out which one you want to shoot.
What bow are you shooting now, Jim?
I'm shooting a bow called Expedition Archery, And, you know, Fred, you remember I started out with PSC in the 80s, and then I went to Hoyt, then I went to Bear, then I went to Matthews. And so I've run the gamut. They're all good bows, but I tell you, as I've gotten older, the 80, 90-pound bows suck, and I shoot 60 pounds. And I found this Expedition bow to be very smooth in the draw cycle. Has a very solid wall on the backside, and very quiet, no hand vibration. Now, I'm giving you a salesman's pitch on that, Fred.
Yeah.
And but it's really true and very fast. The bow I'm shooting is called the Explorer SS, and it's at 29-inch draw, 63 pounds, with a 420 grain arrow shooting 295 feet per second.
Wow. So,
dang.
That'll work.
Yes, yeah. Sir. It is. And if any of your listeners is interested, just go on to I got confused there, Fred. I ain't had a cup of coffee yet. www.expeditionarchery.com, and they'll give you a full line about the bows.
I'm going to do that. As soon as I get home, I'll get on there. I got a story on Jim Miller, Mark.
Do tell.
We're hunting somewhere, and a gobbler's hung up and won't come no further. And we're all scratching our heads. He just got hens, and all of a sudden, we look across the field, and that pop-up blind is running across the field. And I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my entire life. Jim had grabbed the sidewalls and ran down the fence row with the blind. I swore I'd never tell that, but, you know.
Is there any truth to that?
Oh.
No, you know what? I could say that there ain't no truth in it. When you get caught with the drawers down, and I got caught with my drawers down on that, there ain't nothing that's worse than that.
Unbelievable. Running down the fence row with a blind. He was inside, and it was just like a brush pile running, you know? These little legs coming out from underneath them. Look like a cartoon character. To this day, I still stop and chuckle every once in a while. What a man will do to kill a gobbler.
Take the words right from my mouth, Freddie. Yep. A man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Are you still married to that wonderful woman?
49 years.
Wow. How's she put up with you? I don't understand this.
You know, Fred, if I've heard that once, I've heard it a million times. Hello, you know, some men, I guess because I was born and raised in a boot field and cotton patches, you know, good Lord watched over me, and I've been blessed. I really have. I guess that's, you and your wife have been married a long time, too, and we as old men, that's one of the things we can look back on all our successes and say that was really great, but we really have to admit that to have a wife that'll put up with what we you and I have done in our lifetimes, you know, they're a candidate for sainthood. I'll tell you that now.
Jim, we're out of time. Thank you for getting up down there so early and joining us here on air. And, boy, if there's anything we can ever do for you, if you'd like to come back on air, all you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, or vice versa, I hope. And I just love you and tickle to death to have you on air.
Fred, Mark, thank you, brother, so much for having the time to spend with y'all. I miss y'all, and let's get together and chuck an arrow one of these days or shoot a shotgun at something.
Well, every year we're going to go duck hunting, and you never show up, so maybe we ought to do that one of these days. We're getting older, you know.
You know what, Fred, it's a date. We're going to do it this coming year. I'm going to come duck hunt with you, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great talking to you, Jim. Thanks for the laughs.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
I'll tell you what, Jim Miller, guys, it don't get no better.
Yeah, look up this article. It's 24 hours of hell in the life and times of Jim Miller. You look that up, folks. You'll get a good chuckle out of it.
You will giggle. This guy is just a special kind of outdoors person.
Garrett, thank you for coming in here.
Garrett,
my son Garrett's
you.
In the studio. He's taking some pictures to update our Facebook page. And if you have not been to our Facebook page,
please
go take a look at it. It's Midwest Outdoor Sports Radio, 810 WHB. Get up there and follow us or give us a like. We would really appreciate that.
Well, I'm going to head out in the great outdoors. We're going to have another bloodletting of the wild and sometimes evasive snow goose this afternoon.
Awesome.
I had blood all over my coat. That's how close he was.
That's good.
That's
good. A good thing. Yeah.
I hate them, you know. Get me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They got to pay for this.
Get them all.
Know? Yeah. Got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.